And welcome back to Out of the Bag. We are streaming live on Sovereign Internet Radio, because as you just heard, MSI is no more. So let's move on to the show. I mean, it's the 15th of January 2014, and I am happy, honoured and privileged to have the great, must be, I don't know, stupid hours of the morning with me live, Max Egan. Are you there with me?
I certainly am. It's nice to be here, Sean. Thanks for getting me up so early.
Yeah, I am. I'm really apologetic about that. It's a shame that, like, it's daytime where you are and nighttime here. We've got to sort that out somehow.
Yeah, flatten this planet out, eh?
Yeah, wasn't it a flat planet? I mean, we were told that it was a flat Earth at one point.
Yeah, something like that. I'm sure the time difference wasn't so bad then, probably.
Absolutely. People kept on falling off the edge. Maybe that was the problem. So, Max, you went live. You put a video on your crowhouse.com website. And I think Stephen has set it up so that our listeners here on Sovereign... Oh, crikey, I'm not going to get used to saying that. Sovereign Internet Radio can hear it. Shall we play it first, or do you want to have a little explanation as to what it is, Max?
Well, it's up to you. I mean, what happened here in Australia is we've had the Queensland Attorney General, Mr. Jared Blay, has introduced legislation in Queensland which basically cancels habeas corpus. It singles out a certain group of people and says that if you belong to this group of people, you are automatically guilty and you go to jail without trial, basically. This is what the Nazis did to the Jews. This is the same sort of legislation that they used in World War II.
And basically, the British did to the IRA members.
Yeah. Well, it's basically, they're saying that, you know, if you're a gang member, then that's it. It's not acceptable. You're going to jail. But the way the legislation is worded, basically, if you're a member of the Boy Scouts, they can put you in jail. If you're a member of a knitting club, they can put you in jail. If you run a business or a corporation and you've got more than two workers, they can put you in jail. The wording of the law is so vague and so nebulous that it can basically be expanded to include anybody. They're jailing bike gangs at the moment. That's the smokescreen they're using to get public approval for this legislation. I consider this legislation to be sedition, treachery, treason, and an attempt to undermine democracy and the rule of law in Australia. And so I put out a video, a public statement, asking the Attorney General to show cause why he should not be taken to court and held in breach of trust, tried for abuse of power and human rights violations, and give him 21 days to respond. I posted it on YouTube yesterday. I just think it's very important that the people stand up and do something about this, you know. We can't just take this lying down. And so many people are defending it, saying, oh, we need it for the bike gangs. They're not reading the legislation. It's not about bike gangs.
And is Australia just riddled with bike gangs causing grief everywhere you go? Because I didn't hear that.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It must be at least 4 or 5% of the crime comes from bike gangs, you know. That's what I mean. 4 or 5% of the crime in Queensland comes from these gangs. I'd say most of the crime in Queensland comes from government. But
I agree with that.
Well, people got to understand, every time a new law is enacted, a new crime is created. And that is the main source of crime. The main source of crime is government. In America, at the start of the year, we've seen Obama say there's going to be 40,000 new laws come in for Obamacare. So this is the creation of 40,000 new crimes. Every time a new law is created, a new crime is created. That is where crime comes from. And if you've got a high crime rate in your country, it isn't usually because you've got a country of criminals. It's because you have a country of excessive legislation. And that's what this is all about. So, yeah, I thought it was time to make a stand on this.
Absolutely. So I tell you what, why don't we hear that statement that you made? If Stephen, I think, has it set up, we'll mute our mics, maybe Max, and let the new Sovereign Internet Radio people have a listen.
Okay.
This message goes out to the Attorney General of Queensland, Mr. Jared Blay, on behalf of the people of Queensland. Mr. Blay, having perused your new Vlad legislation, the so-called bikey laws that have been recently introduced into Queensland, it's become apparent that what these laws do is create a sentencing court, essentially a star chamber. Star chambers have been outlawed for over 400 years, Mr. Blake, and this is for very good reason, because the potential for abuse of this legislation is paramount. In fact, it is exactly this type of legislation which saw the introduction of the Nazi regime in Germany in the mid-30s. Mr. Blake, I charge you on behalf of the people of Queensland with abuse of power, and I require you to show cause why you should not be held in breach of trust and taken and charged with abuse of power and tried for human rights violations and crimes against humanity. You have 21 days, Mr. Blake, to show cause why you should not be held accountable for these crimes and taken and charged. If you do not show cause, I intend to rally the people of Queensland. I intend to create a fund and take as many steps as need to be taken to ensure that you are held accountable for your crimes and the treason that you have committed against your nation. You have 21 days to respond.
Yes, that was pretty to the point, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. And 21 days from yesterday, was it?
21 days from yesterday, yeah. I will give him to respond, and if he doesn't, I will be seeking legal action against him and attempting to rally the people of Queensland to do it, because this affects the whole state. And if it isn't nipped in the bud, there's a potential that it could go out to the rest of the country as well. Though I don't know whether it will, because the problem with Queensland is that Queensland's about to be put through the ringer. We've had we're in the process. They're building a huge gas port. You've probably heard about that, a big port. They're actually hacking a hole through the Great Barrier Reef in North Queensland to build a port. And a lot of people say it's a port for coal seam gas. I mean, and coal seam gas will be going out through the port, but what it is mainly is a coal port. It's mainly for coal itself, not coal seam gas, but coal. And nobody has really asked where the coal's coming from. Well, the problem is that Australia's food bowl, the Darling Downs, which is some of the most fertile agricultural land on earth, has been earmarked for coal mines. It's mostly been sold to China. This is where pretty well all of Australia's food is grown, in this area. And the Queensland government has sold it basically to China to use for coal mines. They're going to start doing this around about probably 2016 or 2017. I think we've got the Commonwealth Games here between now and then. So what they're going to do is they're going to pretty the state up for the Commonwealth Games, and then after the Commonwealth Games, they're going to turn the place into an open-cut coal mine. And the people of Queensland are going to be protesting this. But if you get more than two of them at a protest and the police start any violence at all, which the police always do, if you ever go to a protest, the violence is started by the police 100% of the time. All the police have to do is go there, start a little bit of violence, and suddenly it's a violent gang. And they can arrest you and they can put you in jail with no trial. That's what this legislation is about. It's because Queensland and Queenslanders are about to be put through the meat grinder. It's going to start about 2016 or 2017. So they're just smoothing these laws in now and smoothing the waters and getting everything in place for what they're about to put this state through.
And yeah, it's absolutely criminal, Max. That is criminal what they're doing.
Oh, it is, and people need to pay attention. And I've got people defending this. People saying, oh, the bike laws are this and the bike is that. We need this legislation. I'm saying, look, whatever figures you've got that you're giving me and showing me that we need these laws for these bikers, whatever the figures are, the fact that you are willing to give up your right to trial and the right to trial for your children and coming generations is absolutely ludicrous, no matter what the figures are. You know, no matter what figures are, no matter what crime is committed, the right to trial is the cornerstone of democracy. If you do not have the right to trial in your country, then you have a fascist state. This is not a grey area. This is not a debatable point. This is just the way it is. And anybody who supports these laws supports the introduction of fascism in Queensland. It's as simple as that. The bikies are just a smokescreen. People are sending me hate mail telling me I'm a defender of crime, I'm a defender of bikies. I'm saying, no, I'm not. I don't like bike gangs. I don't like crime at all. But I like my right to trial. I like my son to have the right to trial. And when I've seen the brutality and the violence that people have been subject to by the police force in this state, I think it's very, very important that we do not give these people these type of sweeping powers. It's just not acceptable. And in the history of Australia, there's never been anything like this. And in fact, this legislation such as this, has been outlawed for over 400 years for very good reason.
Yeah. Well, I was living in England, well, it's over 20 years ago. They were bringing in, which we fought about it, we fought against it, the Criminal Justice Act. At the time, it was a criminal justice bill. So we were going around with banners, which they thought we were being violent in our words because we were putting "kill the bill." And now, as you know, the British police are called the Old Bill. So it was a double whammy and a bit of sarcasm we were using. But what an insidious plan they had! Basically, as you say, any more than three people, gathering anywhere. Would be called a crowd that could be arrested just for being that crowd of more than three people. And that is the very same that it sounds like they're doing again in Queensland, doesn't it?
Well, it is. It's three or more. So it's actually any more than two people.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Three or more people. It's a criminal gang association thing. Violent and lawless association, VLAD. Okay.
Well, what we actually did, Max, is we turned up at Hyde Park in the centre of London. There was about 50,000 of us, and we all stood in groups of three. Separately. Well, do you like that?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. But, it's the violent and lawless associations, okay? So, violent and lawless. Violence. I mean, like I said, all they've got to do is show up at a rally and start the violence, and suddenly you're a violent gang. Not them. They're not the violent gang, the ones that started the violence. You are the ones that are defending yourself against their violence because they're the police. And, of course, the police don't lie. They can do anything they want and say anything they want to railroad over everybody, which is what they do. So if there's more than two of you at any protest, the police can show up, start some trouble, call you a violent gang, put you in jail with no charge. That's what these laws do. And it's not acceptable. Yeah. They could go and arrest the Boy Scouts. They could go and arrest the Lifeline. It says corporations, groups, clubs, businesses, associations, leagues, anything like this. Any group, any gathering of people can be subject to these laws. It is the most, it's the most tyrannical legislation I have ever seen. And I've made this video against Jared Blay because he's the one who signed off on the legislation. I've also contacted the Secretary of the United Nations with a view to having the entire Queensland government dismissed because this is not acceptable. These people have overstepped their marks and that's just the pure fact of the matter. And I intend to take this to the wire. I'll fight this as hard as I can and make as much noise as possible. Typically the news hasn't picked up on it. I've done a search on the news. None of the mainstream media has picked up on this at all. They're all actually defending the legislation and saying how good it is and how much it's been an improvement for this state, which of course is the exact opposite of the truth. But
I'm brainwashing those people that are sending you hate mail into thinking it's a good idea.
Oh yeah, well it's been very, very few. I mean, I've received hundreds and hundreds of positive comments. I've received like two or three people have sent me negative comments, but the rest of it, you know, hundreds and hundreds of positive comments. So. Everybody seems to be supporting it. I've been asked to speak at rallies, all sorts of stuff. So a lot of people
are
on board with this, you know.
Well, what we need to do here on, I was going to say MSI Radio, on Sovereign Internet Radio, is tell your friends. Let's put that link into the chat room. I will do that right now. And let's spread it. Let's make sure that everyone knows and that the mainstream media aren't going to get away with hiding it. Let's tell everyone we know because, you know, we all know somebody and we can pass it on, can't we?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what we need to do because, you know, we can't take this lying down. But, I mean, it's happening everywhere, Sean. It's happening there. It's happening in England. It's happening everywhere. It's happening in the United States. They bring these things in different ways, you know. But the point is that this is in Queensland, Australia, and I live in Queensland, Australia. And if I take this lying down, then what would I be worth? What would all my words be worth? What would all the stuff that I've told people be worth?
You know,
I mean, this is here. I live here. And this is some of the most repressive legislation I've ever seen. So I'll stand up and speak out publicly about it. I don't care what the consequences are. I have no fear of these people. But even with the defences that we have figured out, like with the Freeman stuff and even finding your way through the court system, understanding you're not the birth certificate and understanding how to talk to these people, all the work we've done, all of that is negated by this legislation. It doesn't matter what you know. It doesn't matter whether you're not guilty and you can prove it because you don't get the right to demonstrate that. all you do is get arrested. You get taken to a court and they tell you how long you're going to be in jail for. Whether you're
guilty, without trial, basically.
Internment without trial. It's a star chamber. It's a sentencing court. Simply because you belong to a group that has been named as a violent or lawless association by a police officer. This guy was violent and lawless. That's all. That's all it is. That's all he has to do. There were two or three of them. They were violent and lawless. They take you to court. You go to jail. That's it. You don't get to defend yourself against the actions or the statements that these people have made against you. And frankly, most of the police that I've ever come across have been absolute barefaced liars. And so why are we going to be taking the word of these people? You know, these people can just say something and put anybody they want in jail, just at their word and their whim. If they don't like you, they can say you're part of one of these gangs and you can go to jail. And you have no way of defending yourself against it. So it doesn't matter what you know about the legal system. Doesn't matter what you've learned. Doesn't matter how good or honest you are. Doesn't matter if you can defend yourself and prove your innocence. They're not interested. That's what this legislation does, and it's not acceptable. So, yeah, I'll stand up as much as I can about this one.
So, Max, is this the only solution, really, that you can think of, is that you just have to stand up, shout about it, fight about it, demonstrate about it, and do what you've done in your video, say, look, we're taking this further. You can't get away with this.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, what can you do? I mean, go down the legal avenues? I mean, what am I supposed to do? Go to the police and say I'd like to register a complaint against this guy? The police probably wouldn't let you do it to begin with. They'd probably insult you and, belittle you and intimidate you until you left because they get all the benefits from these laws. They don't want you changing anything. So what do? Do you go to do you vote someone in and vote someone out? Do you wait for the new election and vote this party in and vote this party out? This is happening right now. These are people that we elect to office to act as trustees for us and manage our infrastructure for us and ensure that we have a safe state to live in, a safe place to live. And this legislation would indicate that the people of this state are now under a situation of clear and present danger from their government. This is not acceptable. Obviously, the lawyers aren't going to do anything about it. Obviously, the politicians aren't going to do anything about it. Obviously, the police are not going to do their job and arrest this guy for sedition and treason for even attempting to enact this legislation. They're just going to take it on board and blindly follow it because they're just not smart enough to see what this is, I guess. So who is going to do something about it? Where does it come down to? Well, it comes down to the people. These guys are public trustees, and obviously nobody else is going to do anything about it, so it's up to us to exercise our rights and remember who and what we are, because we actually employ these people. These people are our employees. They're public servants, and we don't have to do what they say. They have to do what we say. It's just that we've forgotten that, and that's what I think we need to do, you know?
Absolutely, that is what we've got to do, and thanks for sharing that, and I was unaware. I don't follow everything. I've been busy today. My children go to school, etc. So all that type of stuff was going on. So I didn't hear about it. So I'm actually very pleased that you're on the show telling me about this tonight so that we can then spread it and let people know as much as we possibly can. Max, I didn't really want to talk to you about that. Isn't it awful that it's happening and that you had to make that statement to your criminal attorney general? Isn't it sad that we have to go down the fact that, we've lost MSI today? No idea the reasons it's happened. So we've had one of these incredible, what is it, a full moon or something? Something's going on today, okay?
Maybe Mercury's in retrograde, mate.
I don't know what the crack is. I mean, you know better than I, Max, I'm telling you. But I tell you what, you're doing some amazing work, and I love the stuff you put out. Maybe I hear it a bit later than most because of my lifestyle, but you're doing this full circle project, and I'm not sure whether the MSI listeners or the Scotland Is Free listeners know about this, and if not, I'd love you to elaborate and explain that, if you're in a mood enough to do that after getting you out of bed so early and then talking about what Queensland is going through at the moment.
Yeah, well, the Full Circle Project, I mean, this is something that I've wanted to do for a while. It's kind of like starting a movement without a movement. Earth needs our attention. It really does. The whole planet. I mean, everything that's going on here in Queensland, you've got similar stuff going on there in Ireland, England, America. Everybody is going through the same things at the moment, the situation that we've got on the planet, it's not sustainable. It simply isn't sustainable. And the legal systems and the governments are out of control. They are. And again, these are public trustees. So what I'm trying to do with the Full Circle Project is create a platform that can be used in every single community around the planet. I just want to get people on board, get people involved, create an umbrella organization sort of thing that people can use to start local initiatives and start things in their own communities. We want to create some sort of a template whereby people can have got something to go on. So, okay, you can start a movement, start an organization, start a group, meetings, all this sort of stuff, and use this template to push the envelope with your local council and to educate the people around you into what's going on. I also want to start a fund whereby we can start buying back sections of Amazon. Now, the Amazon is very much under threat. I was just over there last month, and it's being hacked to pieces. It really is. There's terrible, terrible things going on. And all of it is being done by Western companies, and it's being done to support things that we want, like palm oil and cacao and goji berries and all these superfoods that people are buying. All this stuff, they're destroying the Amazon to grow these things. And the palm
oil—it's absolutely disgusting, Max. Max, not only that, but forget the products that they might make from it, and the money they might make from it. They're actually ripping the lungs of our planet out from under us.
Exactly, and with palm oil, the palm trees that they use for the palm oil actually are very toxic trees, and they destroy the soil where you grow these things. According to one section, they illegally clear-felled 30,000 hectares of Amazon forest to plant palm oil trees. And once these trees are harvested, there's nothing will grow there again. So what they do is they hack up all the soil, and they sell all the soil off, and they sell sand. They start mining it for sand. So they're turning the Amazon into a desert. And, you know, you hack out 30,000 hectares for palm oil, you can grow one crop there, and then it's all over. You move on to the next area and hack out another 30,000 hectares and turn that into a desert. And this is what they're doing. And they're doing it because we're not paying attention. So I want to create some sort of a fund whereby we can buy the Amazon. I want to buy as much of the Amazon jungle as we can and put it in trust for future generations. The only way these people can destroy is because they go in and buy sections and then they just hack it to pieces. Well, I think the people of the planet should buy the Amazon. I think we should put it into a public trust so that nobody can touch it. You know, because the governments aren't going to do it.
I've got a bit of a question for you though, Max. I mean, if you don't mind me asking, who should we be buying this off? I mean, who the bloody hell owns it
exactly.
For you to have to raise money to buy it?
Exactly. That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? I mean, that's just what I've said all the time. You can't own the Earth. You can't own any of it. The Earth owns you. You don't own the Earth. But unfortunately, we live in a society where people think you can own the Earth. And the people you have to buy it off, of course, in Peru would be the Peruvian government. So we can go and do this. We can go and buy land in the Amazon. We can save, because all the stuff that I've looked at is actually in Peru. I mean, the main Amazon basin is in Brazil, but all the catchment area is in Peru. All the upper Amazon is in Peru. Now, if you want to destroy the Amazon, all you got to do is destroy the catchment, and that's what they're doing. In Peru, it's being absolutely devastated through palm oil companies and all this sort of stuff. The local natives are up in arms, but they can't do anything about it because they don't have the financial backing to do anything about it. They can't get the publicity. They can't get anyone to notice what's going on or care about what's going on. And we've got international companies and American companies going in there and just devastating the place. So I want to make a fund. Even if we could buy, if we could raise enough money to just buy one section and save one section of tribal lands, we could make an impact because we could show the world. I'm sure that if we could do that, we'd be able to get it onto mainstream and people would hear about this group of people who saved these tribal lands, you know, National Geographic, whatever. They'd make a nice feel-good story on the news about it, you know what I mean? And we can use that. We can use that to sneak in there and get this out to more and more people. But if we could do that, I think it would be a very empowering thing. If we could even save one group of tribal lands and people could see that you don't have to be a big organization, that a group of everyday people actually combined their efforts and got together and saved a section of Amazon jungle, I think it would inspire the whole world. Because
that would be amazing, wouldn't it?
It would, because everyone can identify with the Amazon. That's why I've picked the Amazon to do it. I mean, it's important that we save it, but everybody can identify with the Amazon jungle. Everybody wants to save the Amazon, but no one knows how to do it. So what I'm saying is we can start small, but we can do it. We can show how it's done. And once we've done that, we can create a movement that could quite literally change the planet, because it would be a movement that has no leader, a movement that isn't a movement. It's an idea whose time has come. It's a way of putting the power back in the hands of people and shifting the scale, shifting the balance of power, you know, teaching people who and what they are again and how to deal with these public trustees, because they are, they're just trustees. And the problem is that we fight them, we attack them, we go to court with them, we try to fight them on their terms. We don't ever, I mean, and this sounds weird, but we don't ever treat them with respect when we talk to them and go to argue with them or fight them. It's like I did with that clip for Jared Blay. I mean, quite respectful to the man. I don't wish to argue with him. I don't want to have a screaming match with him. I'd like to sit down and talk to him. I'd like to sit down and talk to the Prime Minister calmly, rationally.
If they'd let us, Max. If they'd let us.
But that's the thing.
Max, I have to cut across here and cut across this show, actually, because apparently only half of the people are being able to hear this stream. So you know that we lost MSI Radio today. I really apologize about doing this, but we're going to put on a tune and we're going to try and link these streams together so that more people can listen in live. So Max, I'm going to ask Stephen to put on a tune and we'll come back in 2, 3, maybe 5 minutes, okay? And welcome back to Out of the Bag. We are streaming live, I hope, on Sovereign Internet Radio. This is Sean Maguire. And on Out of the Bag.
Hey, Sean, we are also on Scotland is Free.
And of course we are on Scotland is Free. I do apologize. And the chat room is, well, there's quite a few people in the chat room. So the people have been spreading the word and replacing MSI chat. And we're now in scotlandisfree.ning.com. So let's look forward to the future, and the future is rosy when we have people like Max Egan doing his fantastic work. Max, are you back with me?
I certainly am.
Well, that's brilliant. I really think we should revisit the Full Circle project. It's fullcirclenow.net is the website. Is that up and running?
It certainly is. It's only a basic website at the moment. I've got to get someone in there to build a nice site. It's very, very much in its infancy at the moment. I'm making a new film, which I hope to have finished around March or April to launch the new project. But I've got so much on my plate at the moment. It's very difficult. I'm doing these weekly shows on Dave Icke's network, The People's Voice.
Yeah.
And I'm preparing for 3 2-day seminars in late February and March, plus I'm making this film, plus I've just commenced this legal initiative against the Attorney General, and I've got a lot on my plate.
You certainly have. I mean, you've got friends here in Ireland and, you know, all over the world, Max, so you're not alone, and I'm sure many, many people would be wanting to help you as much as possible.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Full Circle project will require the help of everybody. I mean, it requires participation of everybody. I mean, I don't have all the ideas of how to get out of this mess. I mean, I don't know what's good for your local community. Only you know that. So, I need people on the ground in all communities that want to be involved in this and want to start initiatives in their local communities. I want to create a fund. I want people to be able to donate to it because I want to be able to have a fund so that if you've got an idea, and if you can host an event in your community that's going to make a difference and get people on there and re-educate people, well, maybe the project can fund that event. You know, I want to be able to do this because, I mean, a lot of people have got a lot of good ideas in their places, but they can't finance it. They can't get it off the ground because they can't hire a venue. They can't do the advertising. They can't do the stuff they need to get the word out. So, I mean, if everybody put in a dollar and we've got this fund here, well, then we can channel it. We can fund these events. We can host these events, fund these events, and make sure that these movements do start all around the world. This is what I want to do. Create an umbrella foundation that everything can come into. Because there's so many movements people join. You know, the Zeitgeist movement, to this movement, to that movement. They go there, they have a meeting, they hear a lecturer, they get a DVD, they get a pamphlet, they go home, and they think the movement is going to save the world. Well, it's not. You've got to participate. You've got to get out there and save the world yourself. But how do you do it?
We've got to get involved, Max. We've got to get involved. All of us have got to get involved.
Exactly. Well, people are knowing that. They're realizing that, but they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to organize in their community. So that's what I want to be able to do with this project. I want to create something whereby you can use this to organize people in your community. You can create a movement, create anything, you know, a gardening cooperative, whatever. There's all sorts of things we can do to start unifying people. But the most important thing of all is unity, like I said. I mean, you've got to start getting to know your neighbours, the people next door. And we know the people down the road, but we don't know the people next door. That's the problem, you know. We don't have strong communities. We've all got this stuff with each other. It's all programs that we're running. It's very difficult to break people out of this, Sean, but that's our biggest problem. I mean, the people who control the place, the ruling hand, is a very, very small group of people. But they're organized. They work together and they're organized. They don't even have to ask each other what they want. They know what they want and they always work towards a common goal. That's why they're so effective. And one of the things that they do, one of the most important things that they've done is to keep community divided. Because there's 7 billion of us. You know, if even just a small percentage of us started to think clearly, started to think on the same path and started to unite in any way at all, we could change the world in a day. We really
Absolutely.
Could.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, can you imagine, Max, if we got all those different groups, all of them, from wherever they are, to unite under one banner, to unite under the people. We, the people, that's who we are. And help each other. I mean, you've got this, this film you're making about the Amazon. Is it with Ben Stewart? Is it Truthology?
Well, Ben Stewart he was in Peru with me. He's in the film. The film is going to be called Earth Song.
Okay.
It's about the earth. It's about our need to pay attention to the earth. Truthology is the group that Ben and I are doing a speaking tour with in February and March. It's a group based here in Australia, and they've organised seminars in Sydney, Melbourne, and Brisbane. And Ben Stewart and myself and a bunch of other people will be speaking at these seminars. These are 2-day seminars happening in late February and early March. So that's where the Truthology thing comes into it. I actually haven't worked with these people before, but they asked us to come and speak at these events, and okay, that's great because we need to get the word out. So, plus the money from the events, I've been told, is actually being used to free girls from the sex slave industry in Cambodia. So that's a good cause to be supporting as well. They're hoping to free 100 girls with the proceeds from these events. So that's good. It's a good thing to be involved in, you know. Recently I was involved with the Send a Smile Foundation, a big shoebox run as well that they did around here. They were collecting shoeboxes from the elementary schools in the area and sending them to the young kids in the Philippines who lost all their stuff in the recent typhoon over there. And that was really good as well. It was amazing, the turnout from around here, from little kids in elementary schools bringing a shoebox full of presents to give to the children in the Philippines. It was so beautiful. So nice.
It's fantastic. I mean, really, deep down, we are the majority. You know, yeah. I know we seem to be the minority that are awake, aware of what's going on globally. That's changing with the likes of yourself and hopefully what we're doing on radio stations and other people elsewhere. But we really, really have to to communicate with each other so, so much more, because we're all really generous, loving, caring human beings who want our planet to be a nice place for the future of our children.
Well, that's basically what everybody is. I mean, people are basically good. People are basically caring. They are. They're good. And more and more people you speak to are awake to what's going on in the world, and they're awake to the fact that, you know, something's wrong anyway. But people just don't know how to unite. They don't know how to coordinate themselves. And, of course, now we've got these new laws coming in Queensland. Well, you can't, can you? How can you unite and have meetings to discuss how we might convince our government to change legislation? What is this, an anti-government group? Are you a terrorist group? There's more than two of you here. You must be a gang. You see what I'm saying? This is where they're going with this legislation. Anybody who's meeting, who's discussing any type of dissent against the government at all, oh, you might be a threat to national security. You can see where they're going with this. I mean, really, the threat to national security is our governments. I mean, what is national security even? What is the nation? Well, is the nation the landmass? Is it the word Australia? No, it's the people. The people are the nation. We make up the nation of Australia. So national security is obviously the security of the people. How can the people be secure if you've got criminals in government? The biggest threat for national security is government. And government, national security, when they say national security, what they see it as and what it's presented as is any threat against government. But what if the government itself is the threat to national security? And that's what we have here in Queensland. This nation cannot be secure. The people of this state cannot be secure while they have a group of public servants who believe they can go and pick anybody up off the street willy-nilly and put them in jail with no trial and no charges. This is not acceptable. And our state is in a state of clear and present danger. It really is. And people need to pay attention.
It really is. But, you know, we had those those flags, you know, were being highlighted many, many years ago. I mean, I grew up with my own cousins and family. I lived in England, Max, but of Irish parents. And my family here in Ireland were being picked up, were being interned without trial. It just was something that I was trying to shape to the rooftops, and all I was being told is that your family are terrorists. That's what they are. They're criminals. And honestly, you know, they weren't. They just cared about the land they lived in and the fascist regime they saw coming in.
Well, if the Irish people have been brutalized at the hands of England, I mean, anybody who's ever had anything to do with England has been brutalized at the hands of England. England is an absolutely brutal regime. It always has been. It just presents itself in a nice little package with a smiley face on it. And people think it's nice, but it's absolutely horrendous what the Irish have been through at the hands of the British. And the British have done, they've done it everywhere. I mean, look at the opium wars in China, what they did there. I mean, look at when America wanted independence from England, and everybody wanted to help them. You know, the French are going, whoa, you're going to get rid of the English? Hey, we'll come and help. You know, Russia offered to help. Everybody offered to help. The Chinese offered to help. You trying to get rid of British rule? Hey, we'll come and help. You want to get rid of those guys? We'll come and help. The whole world offered to help. You know, anybody who wants to extricate themselves from the tyranny of England, we'll help you do it. You know, England is a brutal regime. It always has been. It's been based on slavery and exploitation, opium trading, slave trading, drug trading. The British family, they got their hands in so many bad things, and they have had for hundreds and hundreds of years. And they put a nice, pretty face on it, and people think the Queen is lovely. Well, no, she's not. She's a tyrant, and you've all got Stockholm syndrome. That's the problem.
Absolutely, you're dead right. I mean, basically, they're pirates. They're criminal pirates. They should have been arrested way, 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 way back. But now they're bigger than ever. I mean, you know, the Commonwealth. Whose Commonwealth? I mean, it's not anything to do with the common people, is it?
No, I mean, and they're not even the proper British royal family anyway. They're a German family that took over when everything messed up with 150 years ago or something. They came in and took over. The Saxe-Coburg-Gotha family changed their name to Windsor so they'd sound more British. And, yeah, it's a scam. I mean, and they are, the whole family has been dabbling in piracy for years. You know, all of the pirates, the East India Trading Company, the destruction of native cultures all around the world, you can trace all this back to these, you know, the British, Britannia rules the waves, you know, we go out there and take over the rest of the world. I mean, of course,
say when I was a child, Britannia doesn't rule the waves, she waves the rules.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And of course, all done in the name of the church. And so we can get back to, you know, I mean, there was the military arm of the world for a while, got out there and did a bit of damage, but then they created America and they got the modern version of the military arm. And now America basically does what England used to do. England just basically controls the finances now. And America goes out and does all the damage and destroys all the free cultures all around the world in the name of bringing them freedom, of course. Interesting how they do that, isn't it, you know? They go out and they impose tyranny in the name of freedom, you know. They go and they find a place where there's absolutely no problem, and they create a war in order to bring them peace. Amazing stuff. And people buy into it.
Yeah. Well, I think also, I mean, it's been Tim Duffy says in the chat room, the English people are the best, the crown politicians are the problem. And he's right. I mean, really, the English people are slaves under the British rule. We are here in Ireland. We're under British rule. You know, you walk into their courts in our country, and it sickens me that we're not awake to it.
Yeah, well, it's a joke. I mean, the people have the power in all of these situations. The problem is that people have forgotten the simple fact that government consists of a group of elected trustees that we put in place and we grant power to in order to keep us safe and to manage our infrastructure for us. And if you are in a state of hardship, if you've got any problem at all in your country, if there is anybody in a state of hardship in your country because of legislation that's been imposed by government, then your governments are in breach of trust. It's as simple as that. The problem is that we've forgotten who we are. We've forgotten that we're living flesh. We think we're the name. We think we're the name on the birth certificate. We think that we're subject to all of these rules, and we don't simply ask the right questions to these people. I mean, very hard. It's very difficult to do it on your own, of course. I mean, you could know all the stuff that you know that I know. I can ask the right questions to police officers, and I can walk away from most situations, but I usually do it if I'm in a crowd. I haven't tried it on my own, and I wouldn't want to try it on my own, because if there's one of me and there's three of them, they can basically do whatever they want. And that's the problem, you know? Yeah. And that's what's wrong with a lot of the free man stuff as well, is people trying to free themselves and discover their own sovereignty and stand as a free man separate from society. Well, it's not going to work, because you've left society there, and it is society that is destroying the world, because these people in society believe all these rules are real. I mean, you don't want to rise from the masses. You want to rise with the masses. So
absolutely. I am so glad you've said it, and you worded it so bloody well, Max, honestly. You know, when people do become aware of their own sovereignty, and then they step away from helping anyone else because I'm all right, Jack, they might as well help out with the divide and conquer situation.
Well, they love you to do that. They love you to just step away from the system. I won't step away from the system. I mean, I've still got a license. I've still got all these things, but I question all of it. When they ask me questions, I always speak English when I'm talking to these people. I never back down to them. Like, they haven't been able to get me on anything for a long, long time. And, I don't back down to them, but I want to educate people into the fact that they are living flesh. And that these people who are writing these rules that tell you you can't step on the grass or whatever it is that they're telling you you can't do have no power over you. And any power that they do have over you and any power you believe they have over you actually comes from you. You've given them the power to manage the infrastructure for us. Does managing that infrastructure include impeding your ability to be you? Because if it does, you need to question these people where they're getting their authority from. And if you're not questioning them, well, you're to blame. If this authority is impeding your existence, then you're to blame for that, because you're not questioning this authority. You know, you have to question this. You've got inherent rights, but if you don't exercise them, they don't mean anything. And if you don't exercise them, these public trustees are going to keep nibbling a little bit, until you're not going to have any at all. And if that happens, whose fault is it? Can you blame them? These are greedy sociopaths. Of course they are. Look at how much they claw over each other to get to office. Of course they are. They don't care about people. They just care about power. Otherwise they wouldn't go to the incredible efforts they go to get to the big chair so they can run everybody else and rule everybody else and make all the rules. They do that because they're control freaks. Do you really think these people care about you? They don't. And if you don't exercise your right to be you, no one else is going to do it for you. And that's what I'm trying to show people and teach people, because that's what it's all about. And if you're going to go off and build an ultimate community, or go off and free yourself and disassociate yourself from society, then you're just allowing the world to burn and thinking that you're okay in your own little environment. It's a self-centered sociopathic attitude. You can't do that. You've got to see yourself as part of the human race and try to support these people and bring the whole human race out of the dilemma that it's in. Because if we don't, then it's just going to keep going regardless of what the individual does, you know? Yeah.
And do you feel that I have to say, I mean, on my show, yes, we highlight the negative. Yes, we highlight what's going on in our world. But I have this feeling of immense positivity for the future. Do you get that? Do you feel that?
I do, absolutely. I mean, I think all of this is a gift. Even with, the psychopaths that run the world, people, I've had conversations with people lately where I said, well, you know, the shamans used to weed out the psychopaths, and they're going, oh, this is infanticide, this is that. I'm going, well, no, they just would make sure they wouldn't get into positions of power. I don't know if they'd kill them, but they just would make sure they wouldn't get into positions of power. And at the moment, we've got psychopaths that are in positions of power. But do I hate the psychopaths? Do I wish we had a world without psychopaths? No, I don't. Not at all. Because you need the darkness. Without the psychopaths, we wouldn't have a chance to discover ourselves. You know, there's 8% of the world that are born completely awake and aware, who can never be programmed. There's about 3% of the world that are born psychopaths. And without the negativity that these people provide us, we wouldn't be able to have that balance. If these people hadn't made the world as bad as it is now, we wouldn't be here having this conversation, and we wouldn't be given this opportunity to wake up. You know, if we were just cruising along and everything was great, and we were just living and creating works of art in our whole life, and just living and eating and breeding, and just everything was cool and everything was roses and it was a perfect society, there would be no growth. Human consciousness would never have an opportunity to expand. That's
do you really think so, Max? Do you really think so? Because
I think you need the dark in order to discover how to defeat the dark. To reach new heights, you know what I'm saying? I think we need it. I think it's necessary. I think that's why there is yin and yang. That's why there is that balance. And you can't have one without the other. We would be going along in this totally boring little existence if there wasn't that dichotomy. I just believe that.
Okay.
I think it's necessary.
Well, I do believe that we are, you know, in the here and now. We have that dark and light. And yes, it is, the dark is definitely waking up more people to the truth. I agree with you. I think things are the way they are meant to be. But I do look forward to the future when it wouldn't be boring existence. It'd be a damn lot of fun and very creative in the future if we did, as the shaman and the shaman, as you call them, would have weeded out the psychopaths and the sociopaths from early on. I remember going to school and thinking, why the hell are the kids in the playground looking up to the bullies and to the thieves and to the nasty backstabbing bastards? Why are we not pointing at them and saying, look, ostracize them, send, as they say in England, send them to Coventry, and don't let them have the power that we do give them. And we start giving it to them as children in the playground. We really do.
Oh, we do. And look, I'm not suggesting that even when the shaman used to weed out the psychopaths, that they would kill them. I don't think that's a good idea. I think that, it just ensure they don't get into positions of power, you know. But you need that negativity in order to have the positivity. Otherwise, you just wouldn't have it. Would there be would it be necessary for 8% of the world to be born with this type of mentality where they cannot be programmed, were it not for the 3% of psychopaths? Would that be there? These incredibly creative, aware people like Tesla, people like Wilhelm Reich and all of these sorts of people, these incredible minds, would they exist? You've got to ask yourself, would they exist were it not for that other negativity? Because every reaction has to have an equal and opposite reaction. For every energy that is created, there has to be an equal and opposite energy. So for someone who is really dark, the Marquis de Sade or someone, you have to have someone like Tesla born on the other end of the scale to balance that. Would we have that if one didn't exist? And if the human heart is basically good, which I believe it is, and that whole swathe of people in the middle who are not psychopaths but are who can be programmed, just the average people, the sheeple, whatever, for want of a better word, just normal, average people, every one of these has the potential to be a very good, caring, giving person. But how do they learn how to do that? How do they learn how to do that if they haven't got that negativity there to see, and then to see the light worker at the other end of the scale balance that negativity? How do they then grow and expand and become part of that 8%? You know, they've got to have, the program's got to be there. It's got to run that way for human consciousness each frequency of human consciousness to be able to discover itself to its fullest potential. It's got to be given the opportunity to go wrong. If you're not given the opportunity to go wrong and you're not given that freedom of choice and that conscience and that awareness of right and wrong, how do you grow? You know, so I think it's necessary. I do. I mean, I'm not defending psychopaths at all. I speak out against these people all the time, and I want to get them out of power.
I know you.
But
do, Max.
I still don't hate them. I don't hate anybody. I really don't have a problem or any type of hatred for anybody. I really don't. I get mad. I get angry. I say things. Of course I do. We all do, especially in chat boxes. You can't read emotion in chat. You just get there and you say something and it sounds really bad. It may have been said calmly, but it sounds bad when you look at it in text.
I've often, Max, been...
Oh, mate, it's incredible. I think that's a lot of why they push us towards that. But anyway, what I'm saying here is I don't hate anybody. I think it's all necessary. I have severe reservations against certain people and some of the psychopaths. I do not like what they've done, and I will not take a backward step to these people, and I will do all I can to point out their grievances and this, you know, their faults to others so that they don't fall into that trap, such as what I've done with Jared Blay, the Attorney General of Queensland. The man's a lunatic. He's a sociopath. He's a psychopath. He's breaching human rights and he should be removed from office. But I don't hate him for it. I think he's given us a great opportunity. He's given the people of Queensland the best opportunity we've ever had to stand up for freedom. Just about time we did it. So let's do it. So that's what I'm doing. So to me, that's an opportunity. So I wouldn't have the opportunity to shine my light on this subject if he had not made the place so negative. So therefore, it's a benefit for him to have done that. I can look at it that way. You know what
okay,
I mean?
I concur with what you're saying. In fact, I have to agree with you wholeheartedly in the sense that genuinely, even the psychopaths, even the, you know, the British government who have affected my family for years, even the American military complex that seems to be affecting our whole planet.
It all serves a purpose. It all serves
I have to say that sending them unconditional love, but, you know, highlighting what they're doing to them and the world is a necessity, and that's what we are doing, isn't it?
Absolutely. We wouldn't have the chance to be able to point out to the world what evil is and in all of its manifestations if this evil didn't exist in the world. And therefore, people would never have the opportunity to be able to inoculate themselves against that evil and grow in a more positive direction. They would be more tempted to go down that path themselves through the little subtleties that happen through life. Little milestones are always there. There's little paths you can take all the time. You can go down the dark side anytime you want. You know?
Yes.
So
it is an instant choice. I mean, I say it to my friends. I say, look, I have the ability to get nasty now, pick up a bloody chair and smack it over your head. Why would I choose to do that? But there are people that will choose to do that, and it is in my choice remit. It is there. It's in the gamut of emotions I can go through.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing. That's the thing, you know. So it's necessary. It may not be good, but in many ways it's necessary. And you can see the benefits that come from it. I mean, even the good stuff that is happening now, the awakeness that's happening, the way people are coming into their power and coming into their strength. They're not going to come into their strength and their power unless someone else is trying to take it away from them. You know, so it's necessary, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't believe that we're actually having a chat tonight, Max, because I thought I'd be contacting you, telling you, MSI's gone. There's absolutely no way we're going to be doing the interview tonight. Thank you so, so much, and sorry about that. But the group of incredible people all got together, rattled out as much as we could information with each other, and look, here we are, live on air right now. So out of that darkness that was this afternoon comes this massive shining light that we're allowed to have someone as good as yourself, Max Egan, live on Out of the Bag, you know?
Oh, look, I think you're being a little too kind there, but thank you. Thank you for the compliment. It's nice to come and talk to you anyway, Sean. It's always nice to talk to you.
Thanks very much. Thank you. The debts, the banks, I mean, they're doing that now, aren't they, instead of rolling their tanks down roads and shooting at people. So they're now attacking us with health, foods, vaccines, and all that type of stuff, chemtrails, etc. As you say, ripping the lungs out of our planet with clear-cutting Amazon rainforest. It's just the madness. Out of that madness, surely should come some sanity. And if we can't air that sanity, you know, we're not doing our jobs, are we?
Well, that's the thing, you know. And you've really got to wonder, with the amount of destruction that's happening on this planet, you've really got to wonder what the real agenda is, you know, and who's behind it all. I mean, even with Fukushima, I mean, Fukushima is the elephant in the living room at the moment. It's just out of control. And no one seems to be doing anything about it. I'm not hearing anything about it at all on the mainstream media. But I'm hearing all sorts of reports out of alternate media that most of the Pacific Ocean's dead. Heaps of dead sea creatures through it. Whale population rapidly diminishing.
And prior to that, we had the BT oil spill, which, you know, they put a cap on that one as well, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. It'll be really interesting to see the whale watch at Byron Bay this year, see how many whales come past. Because all the whales come down and breed down in the southern waters through the Pacific every year. And it'll be really interesting to see how many come past this year. So, yeah, Fukushima is absolutely shocking, but you've got to wonder why there's so much effort being undertaken on this planet to destroy water. You know, with what they've done to the ocean, they pour all our waste into the ocean, and now with fracking, they're destroying groundwater everywhere. Have you heard about the massive oil find? I'm trying to confirm it. I'm trying to find people who
have have heard of it, and I was actually talking to Rob Halford, who's been on my show a few times, about it. A strange name, the place, something Peedy or Poody or...
Cooper Peedy, yeah.
Cooper Peedy, that's it.
Cooper Peedy. There's actually, it's a town of 1,600 people. It's in the desert in South Australia, and most of the people there live underground. Interesting connection that I have to that town. There was a film that came out years and years ago called Pitch Black. Starred Vin Diesel. It was about a group of people crashed on a planet, and all these aliens came out. It was like, you know, a couple of years of light and then 9 years of darkness or something on this planet. And in the darkness, all these aliens come out and eat everything, right? And they crash landed on this planet, and the spaceship in that film, I actually worked on that film and I built the spaceship. So the crashed spaceship that they're standing on in the film Pitch Black is something that I built myself, and the whole film is filmed at Cooper Pedy. And when this is what put Cooper Pedy on the map, they'd never had anything famous happen there before, you know. And when the film was over, they actually took the spaceship that I built and they mounted it above the pub. And it's still there, the Cooper Pedy spaceship. If you go to Cooper
Pedy... It's a landmark.
It's a landmark. It's a spaceship. It's a film set that was actually built by me and is now at Cooper Pedy. I had myself and a couple of labourers working under me. So it was quite interesting. So I've got a connection to that town. There's my spaceship on top of the pub in Cooper Pedy. Bit of trivia for the old folks. But anyway, underneath that town... They found apparently 233 billion barrels of oil. This is the largest oil find in the world. This is more oil than Saudi Arabia. It puts Australia on the map as the largest oil reserve in the world, with 12% of the world's oil supply. Changes the whole geopolitical structure of this planet. Goodbye OPEC, all of that sort of stuff. And nobody is hearing about this oil find. Nobody in Australia that I've spoken to knows anything about this oil find. So why are they going to all this trouble to harvest coal, to harvest coal seam gas and destroy our food bowl when we've got the world's largest oil reserves? And is any of this wealth going to be passed down to the Australian people? Because Australia is one of the most resource-rich nations on earth. It has one of the lowest populations on earth, and yet it has one of the highest costs of living in the world. It should have the lowest cost of living in the world because the wealth should be being passed down to the people, and it isn't. It's being stolen by the politicians and sold to overseas interests. Essentially, it's being stolen by the crown. So we have the dear old queen there again, you know.
Yeah, that's the global situation we're in. I mean, I've said to so many people, and it's not because I'm an old hippie and that's what I get thrown back at me, Ireland... era, as I like to call it, is a country that could be a breadbasket to Europe. We are totally, you know, it's so possible to be self-sustainable, to not listen to the EU laws and guidelines and bullshit, and get on and grow and live and prosper. We could be such, with such a small population, we've got a population of less than most British cities.
Exactly.
On this island.
You could be the world's garden. I mean, Ireland's an incredibly fertile country, and it is. It could be the garden of the world. It's a beautiful green, the Emerald Isle, you know. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely you could. But all the EU laws and all this, it's all rubbish, mate. It's all rubbish. We've got to get past all this.
Of course it's rubbish. Even locally, all the farmers are losing their farms because they've been told not to grow what they used to grow that have kept their families going for generations. It's insanity, and they took a couple of silly, I suppose, payments from the EU when the bubble was big and everything was going well in Ireland, and now it's all been taken away from them.
Well, what they want to do is it's called interdependence. You know, they want every country dependent on every other country. So, you know, whatever you need in your country, they don't want you making it in your country. You've got to get it from England, even if you grow it there. Like we grow. In New Zealand, they grow apples in New Zealand, beautiful apples. They send them to Germany. And in New Zealand, they buy apples that are grown in Denmark or something like that. It's ridiculous. It just keeps the shipping, the freight companies in business. We take all these apples that we grow here, we'll send them over to Germany, and we'll get apples from Denmark and bring them all the way back over here. Of course, you've got to pay more for them because of the shipping costs. But why the hell are they eating apples from another country in a country where they grow apples? It doesn't make sense, you know. It's for interdependence, and they'll move all industry offshore. Whatever it is that Ireland needs and whatever it is, the food, your main foods and all this sort of stuff, we'll just move all that offshore and we'll get you growing something that they want in Switzerland or something.
That's what they're doing. That is exactly what they're doing. And I can't believe that people are falling for it.
Well, it's just, yeah, they do because of the dollar. You put people in a state of scarcity and you say, well, you can make more money if you do this. You know, all these crops, no, these are local crops. You can't make any money out of that hay, but they really need this stuff over in Germany or Switzerland or Australia or New Zealand. So if you grow this, you get more money. And because you're in a state of scarcity, because of the economic system that we've imposed on you to put you in a state of scarcity, this is going to look really attractive to you, and we've come to offer it to you because we're your friend. You know, this is the way it's portrayed, and people just fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. They don't know. They just need money. That's all they know, is that they need money because they're kept in that economic system. They never step back and really look at the world the way it's run. All they really do is look at their books and think about their family and how much they can put food on the table and all this sort of stuff. And they're not stepping back. They're not interested in the political situation. What are you talking about? You're a conspiracy theorist. I've got too much to worry about here. I've got these books I've got to do. I need money. I've got these bills to pay. Just don't leave me alone. I've got to think. That's their attitude. So, you know, you can't blame them. They're trained to be this way. So.
Yeah, and you know, I always say, you know, I can't blame my parents. They were lied to. Previous generations were lied to. It's just up to us to wake the heck up now.
Well, it's all lies, mate. The whole situation, isn't it? I mean, we can't blame anybody. No one was ever given an even playing field. They were all lied to, which made them, you know, they just continued the lie. So, you know, you can't judge people. You can't blame people for what they've done. Like I said, I think people are basically good, but they've never been given an even playing field. And the best you can do is lead by example in all that you do. Question authority at every single opportunity. Understand these people are simply public trustees, and that we can question them if we do it politely and eloquently. Just ask the right questions. You know, you'll find that you can get through most situations. Maybe not now in Queensland, because you can't ask anything now. They just arrest you and throw you in a hole. But in most of the world, in the normal world, you can. I just thought I'd throw that in. But
yeah.
In the normal world, you can still ask questions, you know.
Okay, well, they're obviously planning this, you know, they plan things and then they try them out in various places. I mean, Ireland has been a bloody experiment for an awful lot of things. So now, obviously, Queensland is the place where they're pushing the boat out into this, I suppose, turning Queensland into an easy way to collect taxes and also to put people into prison.
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, I think, I don't know whether they will bring this out. I mean, this is so brutal and so obviously fascism. I don't know whether they'll allow it to be rolled out around the rest of the country. They tried it in New South Wales a couple of years ago, and the parliament voted no. But in Queensland, it went straight through in Queensland. But I would suggest that it's being done in Queensland because of the mining operations going to be conducted in this state. Of course, there's G20 is going to be held here in November. So, they've got basically the meeting of the CEOs of the global slavery system, all meeting here in Brisbane. So they want to lock Brisbane down for that, so they're not going to want to have people protesting that. So these laws will give them the ability to arrest any type of protest at G20. You've got more than two people marching with a sign, you must be a dissident, violent gang. All we have to do is come and push you and create some violence, then we can arrest the whole lot and put you all in jail without charge. So they'll be using it there. And then we've got the Commonwealth Games here, I think, in 2015 or 2016, I think we're having the Commonwealth Games here. And they'll pretty the place up for that, and they'll use it for crowd control at the Commonwealth Games. And then after the Commonwealth Games, they'll open up mining operations, and this legislation will be used to grab any protesters that are standing up against these mining operations. This state's about to get put through the ringer, so that's what these laws are there for. It's interesting, as soon as I posted that challenge to Jared Blay as well, the Queensland Premier made an announcement that day. I mean, that went viral, that video. And the Queensland Premier made an announcement that day that, oh, incidentally, the new laws are going to be rolled back in 2016. We're just going to experiment with them for 2 or 3 years. Rubbish.
Ah,
you know?
Okay. So as a sort of a comeback to your statement.
Oh, no, just a coincidence, of course, Sean.
Because they're not listening to a word we are saying, are they?
No, of course not. Of course, I'm just a crazy, crazy old conspiracy theorist. Don't pay no attention. Just an aging buffoon.
Well, listen, talking of crazy aging buffoons, because I feel like one at the moment after the day I've had, you mentioned earlier Tesla, okay? And now you're talking about the possibility of a massive oil find in Cooper Pedy. surely with Tesla's technology, the people looking into it and all the rest of it, should we not, are we not, have we not got the ability to create our own free energy? Is that not going to be available to us very, very shortly, very soon? And if so, it would end fracking, it would end drilling, it would end ripping out the, you know, the lubrication that keeps our planet spinning.
Well, it would end it all, whether they allow it to happen. The only way free energy is going to happen is if someone creates something very, very simple and they put the plans of it on the internet so it becomes public property and people can just do it.
Well, I've actually heard that that is a possibility. In fact, the guest that I'm going to be speaking to after yourself, Tony Kilvert, mentioned off-air, actually. I don't know whether we talked about it the last time he was on my show. But you know these 3D printers?
Yeah, yeah.
That they had designed a free energy device that can be created via and with the use of these 3D printers.
Excellent.
If so, that's going to be for everyone.
Well, that's what we need. We need something like that. You know, we need it to be public property. So it is true free energy and people can just set it up on their homes regardless of what legislation is put in place to say they can't. And if legislation challenges what they do.
Yeah.
And if legislation challenges what they do, well, again, you get back to the whole slavery thing and the whole fact that these people are public trustees. I mean, there is ways to deal with these people. I don't have any.
Yeah, and it will highlight them, just like you said, you know, the dark and the light.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why you need it. That's why you need to, with the Full Circle Project, one of the things I want to do is I want to create initiatives that really push the envelope with the local councils so that you can create something that brings a light to your community and it's a benefit for your community, but it breaks legislation. And then the council's going to come along and say, oh, you're breaking the law. Well, hang on. Is there a law in place that says I can't improve the life of the community? If there is, you're in breach of trust. Let's talk about this. Because how do you get the right? How do you get the right? You get the power from us. How do you get the right to enact legislation which impinges our right to improve this community? We don't employ you for that. You know, you've got to create stuff that's going to push the envelope and bring light to the community so that they can expose themselves as being the dark force that they are. You know?
Yeah. Okay.
Because that's the only way a lot of people are going to wake up to this stuff, Sean, you know?
Correct me if I'm wrong, Max. So the Full Circle Project is not just to purchase, to help, to save the rainforest and the Amazon.
No.
It's also for any other project that may enhance any area in any part of the world.
Exactly. That's what I want to do with it. If you look at the mission statement, what I've got in there is the mission is to embark on initiatives to bring mankind full circle back to their natural state of abundance through positive common sense action undertaken by the people themselves.
Brilliant.
And then I've got goals of the project. You want me to read you some of the goals?
Yeah, please do. Please do.
It says the goals of the project are to highlight the effects of rampant modernization and the loss of natural and shamanistic traditions has had both upon the collective human psyche and upon our home, the Earth. To promote the global implementation of local workshops designed to re-educate people and demonstrate the folly of basing existence wholly upon an economic model. To demonstrate the need to now, more than ever, blend the old ways with the new as a means of creating an abundant and vibrant future for all. To promote initiatives aimed at uniting the people of the world in a celebration of art, life, and the uniqueness and diversity of human creative expression. To create links, connections, and dialogues with the masters, the shaman, the artists, the gardeners, and the everyday people of each respective culture. And all these sorts of things, and to create speaking events, to create direct engagement with leaders and political figures, to show the need to rein our public trustees in, to undertake community action to enable the people to stand as a barrier to the corporate destruction of the planet. You know, local agricultural cooperatives, reforestation initiatives, funding of local community projects. All sorts of stuff, man. We've got to, I think that we could create agricultural cooperatives. You could have a village where you could put in a market garden. You have 10 families who put in market gardens. They keep one for themselves. They put two of these gardens into a cooperative. All the money from the cooperative, which they sell to the local community, all the money from this cooperative goes to a fund which is used to create your own bank. So that if you are a member of the cooperative or you shop at the cooperative, you get a little card and you can now get interest-free loans from this bank. So you've got your own urban agricultural cooperative bank, which frees you from the central banking system. Even if we're forced to use your paper, no problem, but we're not going to use your bank. we'll use our own bank that we've created, which gives us loans at 1%, just enough to cover paperwork. You know, so it frees you from the central banking system. It's a stepping stone.
Just little things like this,
just whatever you can think of to free yourself from central control and implement them. Just do it. Don't ask permission to do it. They're public trustees. You don't have to ask permission to improve your community because you are flesh and blood. You know, people have forgotten that. They think that they're a corporation. They think they're the name. They think they're controlled by all these rules. And they just don't take the initiative to improve their lives themselves. And that's what I want this to be. I want it to be something that empowers the individual in every community. That's its purpose. And the whole Amazon buyback, I want to do this. I want to buy sections of Amazon jungle because I want to save it. But I also want to do it to create a demonstration for people just to show what we can do if we put our minds to it, you know.
Absolutely, and more power to your elbow for doing it, Max. I mean, you've been saying it, you've been, you know, telling people as it is. You've also done some amazing things with your connections with Palestine and all the rest of it. I mean, you're an amazing guy, Max, and it isn't complimentary. I, if you were a gobshite, I'd be telling you. You're doing this amazing work, waking people up, but not only that, you've now got this Full Circle project, which, if it brings all the communities together, sharing their ideas, sharing the information, because, you know, until we speak to each other, until we communicate with each other, we might not know about a way of doing something in, you know, that would improve our community. We see it improving other people's communities, and suddenly, you know, we can take that information and bring it back to our own place.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, everybody wants to bring about change, but they don't know how to go about it. They don't have a platform, and that's what I want to try to create with this. I mean, and I don't know everything either. I'm not saying I've got all the answers for you. All I'm trying to do is create a platform so we can all bring our stuff to the table and we can find the answer, find the way out of this situation, because the other option is to do nothing. The other option is to vote people in and vote people out and think that we're going to make a difference to the political system, which we're not. It's a joke. You will never, ever find a remedy within that system. You know, you've got to empower people, mate. People have got to rediscover themselves. That is the only solution to our problem. And that's what I want to do with this project.
I'll say the words get rid of, although replace or change their attitudes, their ways, etc. How do we get rid of the corrupt politicians, the corrupt judiciary system that we're all living within? Do we step away en masse from it and create our own?
Well, you step away from it by realizing who you are. Yeah, we don't have to get rid of it. We've got to realize that it's fiction. And the only way we can do that really is by leading by example ourselves and empowering the people around us so that as a community, we can stand up and step away from this system. You know, it's not real. It's fiction. You are living flesh. I mean, so often on my shows, I've said to people, you've got to stand in the power of your flesh. And people have never really understood. I think people are having a hard time understanding what I mean. But you are a being of living flesh. You're not your name. As an example, someone says to me, what is your name? And I say, my name is Man. That's my name. If you're asking for Max Egan is my calling. It's a name created based on an agreement entered into between my mother and father and the government. It's got nothing to do with me. It's my calling that I used to operate within the corporate world. I am living flesh. If they ask me what is my address, I say my address is this vessel that I inhabit. They say, well, no, what's your actual address? And they go, well, I don't have an address. I'm mobile. If I had an address, this vessel would have roots like a tree. I'd be in one spot, but I'm not. I'm mobile. Do you live at the address on your license? Yes, of course I do, but I'm not there at the moment. I'm not living there now. They go, well, where are you living now? Well, I'm living here because I'm standing here talking to you and I'm alive. But when I'm there, I'm living. When I'm there, I'm living there. I'm living wherever I am. If I go down the malt shop, I'm living there because I'm alive. I'm living. I don't understand your line of questioning. You say, do you live at this house? Yes, of course I live at this house. If I'm there, I'm living there. Because I'm not dead when I go there. What is this language that you're talking? You know what I'm saying? People have forgotten that they're alive. They've forgotten that they're flesh. I am living flesh. What is your address? My address is the vessel that is standing before you. You know? Absolutely. You have no right of ownership over this vessel. I can hold my hand up and open and close my fist. can you do that? I'm looking at my fist. It's not opening and closing. I can't see you doing it. So how do you have a right of ownership over this vessel? This is where I live. I live in this vessel because I am man and I am alive. You see, we trick ourselves. They trick us. Do you live at this address? Yes, I do. Well, I guess you're not at that address now, so I guess you're not alive. So therefore, you're a dead entity. You're a corporation, so I have jurisdiction over you. This is the way it works. They trick you with word magic. People have forgotten the power of their
flesh.
That's
exactly what it is. It is word magic, isn't it?
It is. It's word magic. Terence McKenna once said, the world is made of words, and if you understand words, you can change the world. Words to that effect. You know, I'm paraphrasing. But it's true. The world is made of words, and what they do is they use words to trick you, and they trick you into never realizing who and what you are. You are living flesh. Everything the below man was a creation of man. All of the rules and the laws and the legal fiction they create is exactly that. It's legal fiction. And if we have a strong community that can respect and appreciate the uniqueness of itself and of each other, we can step away from the system because the system ceases to exist. See, I don't fight the system because the system's a cloud. It's fiction. If I fight it, I give it substance. Why would I fight something that does not exist? Is that not madness? Wouldn't I not be insane if I was in fear of that which does not exist? If I was fighting that which does not exist? Isn't that a form of insanity? If you fight a system which does not exist, are you mentally competent? Are you competent enough to stand trial, to defend yourself, to do all this sort of stuff? Hey, I'm not fighting your system. I'm just here in my flesh asking you to show me proof of claim that you have any right of ownership over this flesh. If you have, hey, I'll go with you, not a problem, put me in irons, take me to the cell. But until you can show that right of ownership and demonstrate that you have any right of ownership over this vessel that I inhabit and, you know, convince me that I am a dead entity, then I can't go forward on this matter. I can't offer you a plea because I'm not a beggar. I don't even know who you people are, why you've brought me to this place and what you're trying to say to me because I speak English. I don't understand legalese. I'm speaking English and I'm telling you who and what I am, and you have not given me any proof of claim that you have any right of ownership over this vessel. That's it. Where do they go from there, Sean? They can't. They can't go anywhere because they don't have any right of ownership over you, and the only power they get from you because you agree to give them that power. You give your power away because you don't know who you are and you believe you're the name. Even if they say, Sean McGuire, what is your name? You say, my name is Sean McGuire. You've just committed fraud. That is not your name. That's your calling. And if you look at your birth certificate, you find it's got government stamps all over it, and it's signed off by the Registrar of Births, Deaths and Marriages, so I would suggest the government actually owns that name.
It's just like a receipt, isn't it?
You've just committed fraud. That is a calling created by an agreement entered into by your parents and the government, which had nothing to do with you. It was bestowed upon you when you came into being so you could operate in the corporate world if you choose to do so. But your name is man, and you base that information on peer-reviewed information from the Anthropological Society because it's the best you've got to go on. You know, if you're going to claim any ownership to any name, that's the only name you can claim ownership to, but you don't really own it because every other man on the planet owns it as well. So, you know.
Shared ownership. Surely that's the planet we live on.
Exactly. It's the same with your date of birth. What's your date of birth? Well, apparently, it's the 30th of the 10th, 1957. I said, what do you mean apparently? I said, well, all I can give you is hearsay. I have no first-hand knowledge of the event. If you're asking for a definite, I can't give it to you. You're asking me to commit fraud. All I can give you is hearsay based on the testimony of two known liars, my parents. And they were known liars. They told me the Easter Bunny was real. They told me Santa Claus was real. They told me the Tooth Fairy was real. They are known liars. So I can give you hearsay based on the testimony of two known liars. It's the best I have to go on. If you're asking for any more, you're asking me to commit fraud. Sorry, I can't do that. You're asking me to break the law.
And we should be reporting everybody that does so.
Exactly. This is entrapment. If you're threatening me with arrest, if I do not claim this name as my own and give you a definite on my date of birth, then I suggest to you that this is entrapment, and I will be pressing charges against you for entrapment.
Perfect.
Where have they got to go from that?
Yeah. And have you used this? You said you've used similar in crowd situations.
I can do this sort of stuff in crowds, and I've had 8 cops around me and trying to get me on something, and I wouldn't even tell them my name, and they ended up walking away because I had half the hotel out there listening. to what I was saying. You do it on the side of the road. If there's one of you and there's three of them, they'll probably just say, oh, look, this guy's mad. He got violent. They'll tase you. They'll take you away. They'll put you in a nut house, a psychiatric evaluation, and drug you for a few days because that's what they do. You know, I'm not suggesting that people take on cops on the side of the road, and I'm not suggesting that people be disrespectful. Even if you're doing and speaking to police officers in this way, don't be a smart ass. Be respectful. I'm talking to a man in a uniform. I'm not talking to the uniform. I'm talking to another man. He is sui generis, the same as I am. I am sui generis, which means that I am unique to myself and I'm under my own jurisdiction. But because I am sui generis, I respect that you are also sui generis. You may not know that you are working for a slavery system. You may not know all of the stuff that I'm saying. You may actually think that I am my name, and I don't hold that against you. I'm just pointing out to you that I am not, and I'm being polite, and I'm being respectful, and I'm answering your questions to the best of my ability, speaking plain English. I'm not speaking legalese. I do not understand legalese. I'm informing you that I'm speaking English. I'm attaching English meanings to all of your words as well. So when you ask me where I live, I think it must be a trick question, because obviously I live because I'm standing here talking to you. If I wasn't alive, I wouldn't be able to do that. So I'm sorry, I just don't understand the question. You know?
No, I'm not being
malicious or vexatious or anything. I'm simply being polite and I'm answering you truthfully to the best of my ability, you know. But I don't believe it so simply. Yeah, but I don't believe you have any authority over me because you're just a man. You are sui generis the same as me. If you don't understand that I am sui generis, well, I'm just explaining it to you now. So that's the only two words that I need to even consider in your entire legal system is sui generis. If you don't know what it means, just go into your car and just go and look it up and then come back and we'll talk. You know?
Brilliant. And look, I really think that the podcast of what you've just been speaking about has to get out there as much as the details of your foundation that you're sorting out, of everything. I mean, I think you're absolutely knocking the old nails on the head tonight, Max. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Sean. Thanks for listening. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to come on and talk to people about it. I think we've got to make a difference this year. I really do. I think this is the year the gloves have to come off. But, you know, that doesn't mean we go in bare-knuckled into a fight. We don't have to fight anybody. Not a shot needs to be fired. Not a punch needs to be thrown. Not a voice needs to be raised.
Maybe, you know, the kid gloves need to come off. I mean, people have been spoon-fed this bullshit, and they think they are in this comfort zone and they can't do without this crazy, corrupt system that has been foisted upon them, but they are choosing to be within.
Well, even with the alternate research community and the people that are speaking out, everyone wants to be politically correct and no one wants to really rock the boat. I just want to take the fight to the wire. I'm going to stand up. I'll go right to the front line and say, hey, please explain. You know?
Good man. I mean, I'm just a performing poet myself, Max, and I didn't even want a radio show, as many people can you know, bear me out on that one. And to be honest, in the last year and a half, by talking to people like yourself and amazing guests who have come on here with wonderful information, wonderful wisdom, wonderful knowledge, I'm learning loads. And I am the type of person that have been on the front line of demonstrations, both in the UK and here in Ireland. I wish I'd have known some of this stuff when I was younger.
Well, you know, and it's not a case of even going out and using it. It's a case of knowing it. It's a case of knowing who and what you are. I mean, everything I've just said is an attempt to convey the concept to people that you are your flesh. You are a living frequency of consciousness. You are a living essence, a spark of life that inhabits a vessel of flesh and blood. You are here for that experience, to experience yourself. All this other stuff is fiction. You know, and if you understand the power of yourself and understand that every single other man, woman, and child that you deal with is the same. They are just a frequency inhabiting a vessel of flesh. It doesn't matter about their uniform. Uniform only has authority if you believe it has authority. Same as you believe the Illuminati is all powerful. They're only all powerful if you believe they're all powerful. And you can't do anything about this terrible beast. Well, if you believe that, then you can't. And that's what gives it its power. It's actually a very small group of people.
I have been very, very lucky. I think I've winged it all my life. A police van pulled up outside my house, my vessel that I live in, my home, okay? And I was stood in the garden, smoking something. And they pulled up outside and didn't get out of the van at all, just wound the window down. And one of the, they call them guards here in Ireland. I mean, you've been to Ireland, you know what they're like. He leant out of the window and he said, all right, Sean. And I just sort of looked around me, didn't say anything. And then he went, put the kettle on. And I went, I'll put the kettle on if you take those British Crown uniforms off and come in as Irishmen. And they drove off. So I've no idea why they called. I've no idea what they were wanting me to talk about or do. But because I didn't give them the power of their uniform, they had to go. They had to leave. I didn't give them their place they wanted to be in.
Yeah, well, I mean, I never speak to the uniform. I mean, even if a cop talks to me, I'll ask him what his first name is, and I'll address him by that.
Good man. No, this is brilliant stuff.
It disempowers them. Don't talk to the uniform. The uniform, it's fancy dress. It's just a guy in fancy dress.
It is. Yeah. It is. In fact, they're undercover, aren't they?
Yeah, and understand, I mean, if you can't claim your name, always say, if a cop asks you for your name, always say, are you after my name or my calling? My name is Man, and my calling is Sean Maguire, you know? Do I own the name? No, I don't own the name. Of course I don't own the name.
I haven't used that before, Max. I have never used that before, but I will absolutely.
Well, speak English. Always speak English. What is your name? Your name. This implies ownership. My name. A name that I own. What name do you own? Do you own the name Sean Maguire? If you think you do, go and have a look at your birth certificate. See if you can find your signature on there anywhere. Anything that signifies that you own that name. You don't. It's a corporate entity created by an agreement that you had nothing to do with. You don't own that name. The only name you can possibly claim ownership to is Man. But you don't own that either. I mean, you know, I would say, well, look, I don't believe I actually own anything, not even my body. It's just on loan. But if I can claim ownership to any name, it's Man. And I say that in absolute truth and honesty, without frivolity or vexation, based on peer-reviewed information supplied to me by the Anthropological Society, because it's the best I've got to go on.
Brilliant. And you could say that verbatim, and it works every time.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. If you're asking me to claim ownership of that name, I'm sorry, but you're asking me to commit fraud. If you want that name, you should have asked for my calling. I'm happy to supply you with my calling, but please don't ask me to refer to it as my name, because it is not my name. It's actually owned by the government. So if there's any fine attached to this name or anything, or you could send it to the government because they own the name. It's not mine. You know. So you've got to understand that. And also if they ask you where you live, think about what this question is. Where do you live? I live in this vessel standing before
you. Right here, right now. Yeah.
Right here, right now. If you say, I live at this address, you basically said, like, I live there. I'm not there now, so I'm dead. It's word magic. And they're speaking legalese. They're speaking legalese. So that's the interpretation that they're giving your words. Whether you actually said that I'm dead or not doesn't matter, because that's the interpretation they're giving it, because they're actually speaking legalese, which is a language which runs parallel to English. And if they question anything, you say, look, sorry, I'm speaking English, and I'm attaching English meanings to all of your words, so we should clear that up right now. And so speaking English, you're asking me where I live. Well, obviously, I'm alive, so obviously I don't know how to answer this question. I live anywhere I am. I'm living here right now. If I take a step to the left, hey, now I'm living over here. You know? What can I say to this question? I live, you know?
So everyone in that you come into contact with, do you share this information as often and as much as possible out
Absolutely.
There in the streets? I mean, not just on your websites and on your YouTubes, etc.
Absolutely, absolutely. We had a group of people over here the other night for just a meeting, meditation meeting, and I had a big rave with them, about seven or eight people, and gave them all this information. It was really good. They were all clapping and cheering. Oh, this is wonderful, you know. And, you know, people start to understand themselves a little bit better, because that's what this is all about. It's about people rediscovering their flesh, rediscovering that they are powerful human beings, and there is nobody on this planet any more powerful than anybody else. We're all in this together. It's just that some people have given you the idea that you have no power, and they've made their ideas, basically common knowledge and common thought. But it's not real. You do have power. There is nobody any more powerful than you, and there is nobody who controls you unless you let them. And that's Fantastic. What we need people to know.
No, and you're dead right. And listen, do you know what? That 2 hours absolutely flew. And the day that we've just had, you have cheered me up no end, and I hope the people that are listening in to this, when I say an interview, really I could just sit back and let you talk, Max. Do you know what I mean? Absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much. And getting up at whatever the crew this morning and got you out of bed, thank you so, so much for coming on Out of the Bag, Max. You know you're welcome anytime. I know you're so busy that any time could be a long time coming. Okay. Keep up the good work, is all I can possibly say to anybody like you doing what you do.
Well, thank you very much, Sean. I mean, I did get up with 8 minutes to spare. I got up 8 minutes before show time. Went, oops, slept in. But a little bit shaky there for the start, you know.
In a way, wasn't it handy that we had a bit of technical difficulty and you were able to go off and get a cup of tea? And
absolutely, absolutely.
You know, Max, thank you so much. I love you to bits. I really do. And the chat room was just full of absolute compliments for you. You're going to have to get used to taking these compliments. I'm sure you are used to it by now.
Thank you very much. I mean, give them to yourself. And thank you for listening and just apply it to your own lives, because we're all in this together. I'm no better than anybody else. It's just, you know, we're all in this together. It's just a good time. Good time to be here. Great to be out on the front line. Great to be making a difference. And thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Max Egan, and thank you so, so much. I'm just going to say fullcirclenow.net. Check it out. Join it. Be part of it. Thank you, Max Egan. And we're going to take a tune now and give this poor man maybe a respite to go back to bed, I hope. Thanks, Max.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.